wants others to join them, to know, to love, to worship, and to enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Now, if I was to choose a text for this communion service today, and words that will help us focus on this matter, it's the final words in verse 1, that we may seek him with thee. And from this truth, we must see this. Those who would find Christ must seek him.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, minister of our Free Presbyterian Church, and we're here again to bring you the message of God's Word today. We're going to Solomon chapter 6. This is a communion sermon from the very bed of love gospel, the Song of Solomon, where the lover of our souls meets with us. Stay tuned as we come to that message here in a few minutes. Firstly, our question: what do Free Presbyterians believe about the use or the abuse of alcohol? The consumption of alcohol has reached epidemic proportions in Western nations. Consumption is up in nearly every jurisdiction, and the availability of liquor is moving into the local corner stores and food stores of our country. Beyond the many forms of drugs, alcohol is still a more serious problem by far. Just ask any doctor in his practice and he will tell you that alcoholism is the number one addiction in society. Ask any ER doctor at your local hospital and he or she will tell you of the busted and broken bodies that result from the violence, from the abuse of alcohol, whether it be domestic violence, of battered women, bar fights, or the injured from car wrecks. Alcohol is the leading cause of injury, death, and disease. When you add up the social damage done by alcohol in any country, the evil of the whole booze industry that destroys lives, marriages, homes, and kills people in their thousands, can you be surprised that sensible people choose to abstain from it? Can you be surprised that Christian people who love the Lord, his word, his people, and who pray with a burden for perishing souls to be saved from every form of evil should call on each other to abstain from the use of alcohol? Here is a little excerpt from our booklet Separated Unto the Gospel on the abstinence policy that we follow as Free Presbyterians. We abstain for testimony's sake. Leaving aside the considerable exegetical controversy as to whether the Bible does in fact sanction the use of alcoholic drink, there is good reason for a temperance stand. There is a case where our abstinence is a step to protect our testimony and enlarge our usefulness in gospel witness. Our country is sinking in an ocean of alcohol. This is the major form of drug addiction in the land. Alcohol is killing its millions. To seek to bear an effective witness to this drink-sodden generation, while we ourselves indulge, is akin to preaching to a drug addict while we use marijuana, in moderation, of course. After all, it is nowhere specifically prohibited in Scripture. Now, that would be foolish. We abstain out of love for the brethren. Many people in our churches have been saved out of alcoholism. We take Paul's words very seriously. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Romans chapter 14. We believe that Christians indulge in alcohol is very definitely a source of stumbling and offense to those whom the Lord has saved out of utter bondage to drink, as well as to the many who are still enslaved by it. Paul lays down the same rule. There are things that we may personally and narrowly consider lawful to us, but that are not expedient and are not for the edification of others. With that in mind, Paul lays down the rule for God's people. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or welfare. That is a command, that is an ordained rule or standard. We believe it makes it incumbent on us, faced with the utterly incalculable devastation caused by alcohol, to separate ourselves totally from it unto the Lord. And it is unto the Lord that we do this. This is no bitter legalism. It is an expression of our love for the Lord, for his testimony, and for the welfare of others. By abstaining, we express our liberty, purity, testimony, and community. We enjoy life. We're not afraid to see the world in which we live as God's world, to be used, though not abused. We rejoice in the truth of what is called common grace, and can therefore happily receive all the relative good that has come to us through unsaved men as the provision of our loving God. Our standards are not standards of bondage, but expressions of our liberty, purity, testimony, and community, because they tell the weakest saint among us that we care enough for him to banish even the possibility of our causing him to stumble. We invite you to join with us in this stand against the dreadful societal issue of alcohol in our nation. And may God give us a testimony that may be free from the impurity of alcohol, the wicked lifestyles and the deceits and lies that it so often fosters, never mind the bereavements, the sorrows, the tragedies that it incurs. May God change this society and turn men and women back to God to live lives that are free from this wicked method of letting loose the flesh instead of living for God in holiness. May the Lord bless and help us today as we turn to the message of his word. We pray there'll be a blessing in store for your heart today as we turn to this message on Song of Solomon chapter 6. Right, back to Song of Solomon chapter 6. I had a phone call on Thursday from a lady in distress. She knew the facts that the Lord had died for her. She knew the facts that the Lord had risen for her. And she had also sought the Lord. But she had no sense of the assurance of the Lord's blessing in her own heart and soul. She called me and I took her to the Psalm 24. I read the whole psalm with her and then we prayed. On Friday, the phone rang again. It was the same lady, and the Lord had answered prayer. She was rejoicing that she had heard the Lord speak to her own heart. She had also gone out to some ladies' group and had time in the Bible, and it seemed that the joy of the Lord had just returned to her soul. This sense of the Lord's distance is a reality that many Christians face from time to time. It can vary in situation and vary in the causes and the reasons for it. But to the true Christian, they say, I must have the Savior with me, for I cannot walk alone. And I think if each one of us here is honest with ourselves and with the Lord, that quite often there are those times when we know it. We could find it in the Bible. We could put our finger on the verses that prove it. But we don't feel it within our own hearts warming our souls. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, this is the spouse's burden. In chapter 5, 8, if we just go back a little bit to get the context of this, you will find that there is a complaint in the heart of this young woman. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved. In other words, she feels she has lost him.
She mentions that she is sick of love. Now, she is not sick of thinking about him, but she is sick of not finding him. And there is a loneliness, there is a want within her own heart. And so in her desperation, she sought her beloved. She inquires in the streets, she asks the watchmen of the night, and she even comes to these maidens, no doubt out in the streets, and she says, "Have you seen my beloved? If you do, tell me where I might find him." Now, the wonderful thing in her discussion and description of her beloved to these young maidens, which you read of, chapter 5, verse 9, right down to verse 16, and that's where we were at last time we had communion. And in those verses, you have that very personal and very descriptive, personal testimony of the preciousness of her beloved. And as she speaks of her beloved to these young maidens, she revives her own heart. And she stirs within these young women an interest in them. And you'll notice the question in chapter 6, verse 1. "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" And so we have here this agreement now. We all want to find this beloved, the lover of our souls. Now, here I must pause for a little interpretive moment. This cannot be literal. This cannot be just the love of a man and woman. This has to be a spiritual picture of the love between Christ and his church. Because what wife would want young women to come with her to find her beloved? This cannot work on the human level. This has to be on the higher level of what is true. Every Christian wants others to join them to know, to love, to worship, and to enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Now, if I was to choose a text for this communion service today and words that will help us focus on this matter, it's the final words in verse 1, "that we may seek him with thee." And from this truth, we must see this. Those who would find Christ must seek him. Those who would enjoy the Lord in their own hearts, they must seek him. Now, are you doing that? I hope that's the reason you've come to church. I hope that's the reason that you would take the cup and bread today in communion. You want to take those visible signs and seek the presence, the grace of the Lord Jesus within your own heart. So I say that to any here today who's a Christian. You come together to seek the Lord. But I also say it to someone here who may not yet be a Christian. You may be like these young maidens who are saying, "We come to seek him with thee." And I want you to know that you've come to the right place this morning. As you would seek to know the Savior of the world, the one who would be your Savior, this is the right place to come. And I trust these words will be etched in your hearts, "that we may seek him with thee." Now, I have a very simple outline today, and it's this: how we must seek him, where we must seek him, what to say when we find him, and how will we be received when we seek him. Firstly, then, how we must seek him. Now, as I pointed out, it would be morally wrong and it would be unacceptable if this was merely on the human level. If this was just a woman who was interested in a man as her spouse, and all these young maidens saying, "We want to go with you. We want to love him too." That would be all wrong. So this is in the spiritual realm. It is a picture of what men and women seek the Savior, the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, the bridegroom of his church, the bride. And we see here that it is best to seek the Lord with other believers. That's what church is, seeking the Lord with other believers. And this is the experience of most who have found the Lord. I know there are those who have found the Lord in prisons, in lonely places of this world, but really they're the exception. In the vast majority of cases, people have found the Lord where the saints, fellow Christians, unite together as the church. Now let me take you to that psalm that I read to that dear lady that called me up on Thursday. And I want to read to you just some of the verses that were very pertinent. Psalm 24, and we'll begin at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And of course, this is really the question the lady had. She wanted to know, how can I enter into his presence? Verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob. What a wonderful thing. A people, whatever number, whatever grouping it is, but they come unitedly, not just alone, but unitedly, the generation of them that seek the Lord. Now look at the promise in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, that's what we want, isn't it? We want to open our hearts and the King of glory to come in to our souls. And that's the burden of the inquiring heart that wants to really know the Lord. And that's how we come as a church, as believers united together corporately. You see, the Lord has promised to be in the midst of his church, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. We are told in Revelation that he walks in the midst of the candlestick representing his church, and the Lord walks in the midst. So if you want to seek and find the Lord, come amongst his people. Come amongst those who are also seeking to worship him. And there, in most cases, people will find him. So you must seek him with other believers, but you must also seek him early. That's good biblical advice. And that, of course, is the Lord's promise. In Psalm 63, we read this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. And he says, early will I seek thee. In the Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And I've got several verses of that nature, seeking the Lord early. Now that doesn't mean early in the morning before the sun's up, necessarily, but it means you don't procrastinate. You don't put it off. You don't take the attitude, well, sometime. But did you come immediately? You seek the Lord early. And it's never too soon, to come afresh and seek the Lord with all your heart. And of course, you must seek him also by faith. That is good biblical advice. You can't find the Lord when you're filled with unbelief, questions, and doubts. You must believe that the Lord is your Savior. He's alive. He has given you wonderful, wonderful promises. And he sends his Spirit into our hearts. Now, here's a promise for you. Maybe we should turn to this in the Bible. John 14:16. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And he gives it to his disciples when he is departing from them. And that's the issue, isn't it? What do we do when we feel that the Lord's gone from us? What do we do when we feel there's a distance between my soul and the Lord? And here the Lord says to his own disciples, as he is leaving them, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, can you pray that? Lord, come to me. You've promised to come to me. Now, that does not mean the Lord is going to walk in here in physical form as he was dressed in his earthly ministry at Galilee. But the Lord will come by his Spirit. He will minister to your heart spiritually, and you will sense the Lord in your soul, drawing near, comforting, strengthening, ministering to your heart, that you will not just know it in your head, but you will truly know the Lord is with you. Here's the promises, and we claim them by faith. Now, will you do that? Are you the generation of those that seek the Lord? To seek him means to take his promises, plead them, pray them, until they become a reality in your own heart and in your own soul. Now, where we must seek him. So that's the how we must seek him. Then there is the where we must seek him. Let's go back to Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and see where this spouse found her beloved. Verse 2. My beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Now, did you note something? She's found him. She knows where he is now. The previous verses into chapter 5 was all about, could you tell me where he is? If you find him, let me know. But here she knows, and the Lord is to be found. My beloved is gone down into his garden. So in reality, she was looking in all the wrong places. She was looking in the streets in the nighttime. She was going through the city looking for her beloved, but he wasn't there. She was looking in all the wrong places. He was in, what does it say here? His garden. My beloved is gone down into his garden. Now that garden depicts the place where the Lord feeds. And there are three gardens in the Bible I want us to think about. There's the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of Resurrection. The Lord is to be found in his garden, not the world. Now a garden is usually an enclosed area from the wilderness or the outside world with a wall around it and an enclosed gate, and it is specifically cared for. That's what the church is, by the way. The church is not in the world. We are not of the world. The church is separate. It is enclosed off from the sin and the noise and all the carnality of the world. And so the Lord is in his garden, which I think we can take here to represent the Lord's church. Now, where was the Lord's church first found? The Garden of Eden.
Jesus, please.
Thank you for staying tuned with us here as we've Let the Bible Speak. I wonder, have you an interest in heart to seek the Lord? That is, that you feel the weight of sin and you need to be saved? That you have heard that Jesus is the only Savior, the way to heaven, and that you're burdened that you might find Him and know the saving grace that is in the Son of God? Then I bid you come, and I invite you to participate in the life that is in the Lord Jesus. He has bidden you to come and believe on Him. And the moment that you put your faith and trust in the death and the work of the Lord Jesus, you will be received. We are told in John chapter 6, 37, that everyone that cometh unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. You will be received, and you will be saved. And I do ask you to just stop what you're doing right now, bow your head, and pray the sinner's prayer. Call on the Lord to save your soul. Ask Him to wash away your sins, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to give you the gift of eternal life. And as you pray and as you confess your sin, as you plead the cleansing of the blood, the work of salvation will be done in your soul. So do that now. Get your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And there the Lord will give you that word you can stand upon for salvation. And if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call. Stand by now for the few announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.